It's been a generation now since ethnic war followed the breakup of Yugoslavia and turned the world's focus on Bosnia. A few scars on buildings might still serve as a history lesson when you're touring the region. But today's nation of Bosnia-Herzegovina is a destination where scenic villages, rugged natural beauty, and stories from the crossroads of southeastern Europe will make you glad to get acquainted with this sector of the Balkans. We have two guides from Bosnia joining us on Travel with Rick Steves to share what their Bosnian heritage means to them today. Amir Telebacirovic is a journalist who was raised in Sarajevo and survived the siege, which started on his 19th birthday in 1992. Today, Amir leads tours of Bosnia and the Adriatic. Sanal Maric was raised in the small town of Stolac in southern Bosnia-Herzegovina and was just a child when war broke out around him. Today, he works with youth in his area to help break down lingering ethnic divisions. Sanal is also a tour guide there. Amir and Sanal, we're so glad to have you with us.
Thank you for getting us here.
Jack, it's great to be here.
When we think about Bosnia, we think, Amir, Bosnia-Herzegovina.
Mm-hmm.
Or Bosnia. Is one correct and one not correct, or what does that mean?
They're both correct, actually. Mm-hmm. Our official name is historically not that old, like since the sometimes late 19th century, Bosnia-Herzegovina. But we're not talking about two regions or countries pulled together. It's Bosnia and Herzegovina presented the southern region. It has a Germanic name, Herzeg, named after one duke.
So it's the same place? There. It's not two different places?
It is
together.
The same place, and there is no state border when you drive from one to another. Technically, Bosnia is north, Herzegovina is south.
So the people of Herzegovina have their own local pride a little bit.
We can say so, but it's more about geography.
Okay. Now, we hear the word Bosnian and Bosniak.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So now, what is the difference
with
that?
That's something that actually bothered me for quite some time because I couldn't figure out, as you travel a lot, as we do in our job, you know, you wonder what kind of identity pops up first when you're meeting some people. Is it going to be American first or is it going to be Californian, Texan, you know,
okay.
What's the identity? But in Bosnia, it's pretty much all about nationality.
Mm-hmm.
So after the war, Yugoslavia, when Yugoslavia break apart, we were kind of considered to be Bosnia as Yugoslavia within Yugoslavia because we had all the nations within.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden, you have a term such as Bosnian Croat,
mm-hmm.
Bosnian Serb, and Bosniak, which represents the Bosnian Muslims.
Oh, so the Bosniak would be the Muslim population.
In Bosnia, yeah.
Okay, because you have the very complicated reality that this is where Islam and Christendom come together.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Mostar is the greatest tourist town, I think, in
it
the area.
Is.
And they've got that beautiful pointed bridge. And to me, that always was a symbol of the East and the West connecting. I understand in your language, you actually have some words that help us understand the unique characteristic of your sort of the vibe to be in Bosnia. Raja, is that the word?
Raja.
Raja, what does that mean?
Raja means, you know, a gang of people, a group of people that's hanging out. And you never let anybody to, you know, look at you from a higher distance. They're always pulling you down. You know, you have to be equal. You have to be equally respect of everybody else. You cannot be celebrity in Raja. You know, to be just a common, you know.
You go home, you could be a famous musician or a famous politician or businessman. You come back to your friends, your old school
friends. I'm just Sanal from the neighborhood, you know. There's no
another guy.
One of the things a lot of American celebrities are coming to Bosnia because they feel that nobody's chasing them, nobody's screaming. They're just...
Is that the way it is on the streets?
You won't. Yeah,
I mean,
pretty much. No,
nobody, he's the president of Bosnia. He's just
nobody's going to scream after
like
you
that.
Or call you. Yeah, it's
like
cool.
That.
It's cool.
I think there's a little bit of that in Slovenia also.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think it's kind of a Balkan thing.
It's a Balkan thing, yeah. Hey, Amir, when you go to Bosnia, there's another word that's interesting, chafe.
Yeah.
Chafe. Tell me about that.
Okay, let's play a little etymology. It comes from the Persian word chafe. Chafe is more like Slavic pronunciation of the same word, which, as we figured out by now, can't be translated easily. But that's a unique feeling when you get into that. Or it can be described, for example, like you feel like doing something. Even if it's against all odds, if you feel like it's breaking a wall with your head, but you just feel you want to do it.
You just
chafe,
feel like
your
you want to.
Own chafe.
So you've got this personality quirk, and if you want to hit your head against the wall, that's just his chafe.
But it's not rebellions. It's not about being rebellious. If somebody tells you you can't do it, could be something simply that moment, it's your chafe, your specific feeling you need to, you feel like you need to do that. Even if it doesn't make sense always. Sometimes it does, sometimes it does not.
So people give people the flexibility or the freedom to be individuals?
Yeah.
Is that what that is? Does it show itself in little things like how you drink your coffee or something like
that? Yes. How do you drink your coffee? How do you drink other stuff? Even how do you eat?
How you make your coffee? What's another chaif?
Cigarette.
Chaif. Well,
cigarette.
Coffee and cigarette often go hand by hand back
so
home.
So people might say cigarette's not healthy.
Yeah,
you say,
we all know that. We all know that. But it's there. It's deeply incorporated into our culture. The entire word chaif kind of goes around it, because when you sit somewhere outside in a beautiful sunny day, you know, and you've done all you need to do, and you're drinking your Bosnian coffee and having a cigarette, that's all there is, you know, it's just enjoying it, soaking the sun. And if you're in mood to have some company, great. If not, please don't disturb my chaif.
Another word, merak?
Merak. That's just a feeling like when you're eating something.
When you're eating something.
Like when you're eating something that you know it's not good for you.
Right.
But you still, you're fully enjoying it. You know, you're still,
so there's
you
no guilt.
Care.
There's no guilt trip.
There is no guilt trip. There's you're no, just, no. this
so
is like.
You can't be on a diet when you're facing this beautiful baklava.
Yeah, there you go.
It could be a collective feeling, not just one person. Merak can refer to entire, for example, here, there are three of us here. We can feel merak, you know, like kind of like we are. Relaxed spontaneously. Okay.
So it's like sort of a communing together.
Yes, and it doesn't have to be appointed. You don't say, like, let's have a merak tomorrow at 8 o'clock. It should come spontaneously, of course.
This feels like it has very, very deep roots, and it's something that you can sort of relate to each other. And when you get home, you're probably glad to be back at that.
Yeah.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're talking with Sanel Meric, and we're talking with Amir Televicerovic. We're talking about Bosnia. Our phone number is 877-333-7425, and Elizabeth is calling from Nashville in Tennessee. Elizabeth, thanks for your call.
Hi, Rick. How are you?
We're doing great. Do you have a comment for Sanel or Amir?
Let's see here. I've been to Bosnia a couple of times now. I'm from Nashville, born and raised, and have married my husband, who is originally from Bosanski Brod, which is north. So we've been a couple of times. It's just a wonderful place, and now we have a little boy who is 6 years old and becoming very curious about where Dad is from, and we're just sort of learning how we explain how Dad got here, why Dad doesn't live in Bosnia anymore. So I don't know if you have any experience, if your guest has any experience of that sort of story.
So your husband left during the war there?
Yes.
Okay, so now they've got a son, and he's wondering about the story of Bosnia. Of course, he'll want to know the story of his father, but also what is happening today in Bosnia? How are things between the sects? I mean, the reality is people's fathers may have been shooting each other, and today we have, I would hope, Merak.
Yeah, it would be good for any American who wants to understand Bosnia to separate two things, cause and consequence of those wars. So it's true, we do have some kind of, as you would call it, like sectarian tensions in some parts of the country. Not
to this day.
To this day, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But there's consequences of the war. They were never caused. It's important to know that difference. At the same time, we have places that were affected by war, but ordinary people of so-called different sects or whatever we call them continue to coexist together like nothing ever happened. In other words, it's not black and white situation. We have both, you know, like areas with segregation, which are more political thing than sectarian, and areas when really ordinary, I'm talking mostly about ordinary people, okay. I cannot speak for the politicians, they need to speak for themselves. Ordinary people coexist normally like nothing ever happened, which depends from region to region of the country.
This is so complicated for an American to imagine because, you know, we have a divided country, but we don't know what division is until we talk to people who have been fighting like this.
But if I can add, I was a 10-year-old kid at the time that everything happened, you know, and from my perspective, I put a lot of effort back home. I work with youth to try to prevent all this bad energy that took place in our country some 25 years ago to be passed to new generations, because how can you blame a kid who was 10 years old, who was on some other side, for the, you know, wrongdoings of our fathers?
Mm-hmm.
So we really need to start working on that, to creating a normal society for all of us. And I think it's very important to talk with your kids. It's really important to let them know the full story, of course, when time comes. But now I would really advise you to just ease them into the story of Bosnia, what it is. You know, a lot of people from Bosnia was displaced all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of us returned. I was a refugee for almost 9 years, but I was a refugee in my own country. So there are still a lot of people who build their entire life
elsewhere. And when we think of the sectarian sides of the conflict where there was so much bloodshed, was it basically it's dangerous to say religion, but it was ethnic groups based on the heritage of their religion. So you would have Muslims, Orthodox, and Christian. Okay. Catholics. And within Bosnia, you had those three communities.
Yeah, and smaller community of Jews.
Of Jews. Well. And today, a generation later, is it fair to say everybody was at fault or somebody was more at fault than others?
Well, the things are still being determined.
Right.
You know, there's international courts that are prosecuting people who are in charge, you know. But the painful reality is we will have to face it one day. You know, we will all have to sit and make peace with it, what happened. So far, I think all three or four sides have their own truths of
their
what
own,
happened.
The way they see it, their own context. That survives to this day.
It does, in certain extent.
So is the solution for peace not looking for blame, but just saying, let's look forward and let's learn from the past?
Yeah,
as far
but
as...
I think it's very important. Enough time has passed. We have grown so much. And I think it's fair enough to say we are ready to sit down and to have an honest face-to-face, you know, let's check the reality. Let's see what happened there.
So, Elizabeth, are you going to take your family back to Bosnia?
We try to go back probably every 3 years. We still have my husband's grandmother. Both grandmothers are still over there and some other family. So, yes, we try to go back every few years.
And do you find that there's a comfortableness and an easygoingness, or is there still an edge and there's sort of a hair trigger violence ready to erupt?
I would say more of the first, but my husband's experience, I would say, is probably different than my experience. Sarajevo, for instance, has changed a lot. The first time I was there was in 07, and we went back. It's been a year and a half ago now, and it's very different there. There are a lot more tourists, a lot more people speaking English, so it was an easier place to navigate.
Does it feel more affluent and enjoyable from a tourist point of view?
Oh, yes, very much. And I had an advantage as well. We had some of my husband's old schoolmates that had stayed during the war and lived there, and so we got to have that experience too and be in their homes and go to the good restaurants that only his friends knew about and that sort of thing, a little off the beaten path. So that was nice.
Elizabeth, thanks for your call.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. It's been nearly 30 years now since they negotiated an end to the bloody inter-ethnic fighting in their region at the heart of the former Yugoslavia. Right now on Travel with Rick Steves, we're exploring what Bosnian identity means today with guides Sanel Maric and Amir Telebicerovic. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Alan is calling from Voorheesville in New York. Alan, thanks for your call.
Thank you for taking my question. I've been fascinated with Bosnia ever since I first read Ivo Andrić when I was a teenager, and I'm not a spring chicken. And I finally had a chance to travel there in 2015. It was a great trip. I really enjoyed being there, especially talking to the people. I'd like to know if there's any contemporary media books, novels, movies that give a good sense or what Bosnia is today and the Bosnian character and people.
First of all, you were reading Ivo Andrić and his novels, and both Sanel and Amir shook their heads. What does Ivo Andrić mean to you, Sanel?
Well, he was one of our well-known writers. He was Nobel Prize winner for that particular book. So you feel a little bit of pride as soon as you hear somebody in America reading these novels.
Bridge on the Drina River?
Yeah. Drina is a natural boundary between Serbia and Bosnia.
Ah, so the bridge would have been right on the front.
And it's still, even in the 60s, the book deals with a heavy situation in the area.
So, Alan, what was your takeaway from Ivo Andrić's book?
Well, it struck me as a society in which people of very different backgrounds were able to get along in communities and were able to come together in times of crisis. I've also read The Bosnian Story, which takes place in Travnik, which was also fascinating, too, because it was from the perspective of French diplomats during the Napoleonic period. It's a great novel. Anybody who's thinking of going to Bosnia should really read it.
Okay. Now, Alan's question was, is there any other books or documentaries or movies that you would recommend for people who may be traveling to Bosnia and that'll give them a better context?
If you like graphic novels, okay, I'm deliberately not using the word comic books, so I'm not talking about Spider-Man and Batman, but graphic novels. There is a work of Joe Sacco. S-A-C-C-O, his second name, he wrote excellent, it's his masterpiece, called Seferia Gorazde. Then The Fixer, also named Story of Sarajevo, during the war and currently,
The Fixer.
The Fixer, yes. Also graphic novel, also from Joe Sacco, also in English. And also, since, Alan, since you like Bridge on the Inner River, you may like the author Mesha Selimovic, who was also one of the best writer ever in Southern Slavic languages, two books called The Death and Dervish and The Fortress.
The Death and
Dervish.
I've
read The Fortress.
Okay, so you know what I'm talking about, and you can find them on Amazon, and that can help you. And for documentaries, I would recommend you The Love of Books, Sarajevo Love of Books, the story of the people who were risking their own life under sniper fire to save one of the oldest and the greatest libraries, ancient libraries in Sarajevo.
Called The Love of Books.
The Love of Books.
A documentary.
It's made by BBC, yeah.
Sanel.
And I would just add something that was very fascinating, and it's very intriguing to see HBO's documentary on Houston, We Have a Problem, which deals with how Tito sold a space program to the United States. And mainly it was filmed in Bosnia because we had the biggest base there. And all this, what was happening, it was so fascinating to see. They did a very good job.
That sounds interesting.
And they used quite a lot of original footage from Nixon, Tito. So you have pretty much a very nice mix there.
What was the connection with Tito and our space program?
Yugoslavia had a space program, and we're talking about the time that we had a race with U.S.
Yeah.
and Russia, and
right.
you know, of course.
And Yugoslavia was the bridge in some ways between Washington and Moscow.
The first liner in front of the Cold War there, and they took advantage to, you know, sell something that wasn't tested.
Okay.
And Americans were kind of furious when they tried it and failed.
Oh no, Houston, yeah. We've got a problem. Ellen, thanks for your call.
Well, thank you very much. By the way, the best baklava I've had was in Sarajevo.
Hey, that's good
tip. All right.
You need to go to Mostar. Oh,
okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Alan. Mostar and Sarajevo, two great cities, wonderful, wonderful historic and cultural centers in Bosnia. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking with Amir Telebičarević and Sanel Mladić. Amir and Sanel, I know that Bosnia is known for its humor. It's kind of dark humor.
Yeah, it is. It is.
And with your heritage, it's understandable.
Politically incorrect, actually. So
politically, is there a little bit of Bosnian humor you can share with us as we close our discussion?
There is, but I don't know much about where are the limits of the political correctness here.
Can I try?
Yeah.
It's not offensive to anybody. So we had a flood, which was really bad one. So just to show you the spirit of Bosnia. And, you know, news reporters all over the country trying to film, save people, you know. And there was one guy sitting on the first floor of his balcony, everything's gone, and he wrote a sign, beware of sharks. You know, usually our people flip, you know, you lose everything that you had,
yeah.
But he was like, what can I do? And he made this gigantic sign, just to joke about it, beware of sharks.
Bosnian humor. When everything is going wrong, well, let's make a joke.
During the war, the people are wondering why there was a lack of interest of international community, UN, etc., in intervening in Bosnia, stopping the war and ethnic cleansing and so many bad things that happened. And then we came to conclusion, Bosnia is the only country that has certain Muslim population, but without oil.
Without oil.
Yeah.
There was no
so
interest.
There was no interest in it, right? No,
yeah.
No oil involved. This is Travel with Rick Steves. We've been talking about Bosnia with Sanel Mladić and Amir Telebičarević. Thanks, both of you, for that insight into your country.
Thank you for having us.
Travel with Rick Steves is produced at Rick Steves Europe in Edmonds, Washington. I'm the executive producer, Tim Tatton. Our associate producers are Kasmira Hall and Donna Bardsley. We get website support from Andrew Wakeling, affiliate promotions from Sheila Gerzoff. Our theme music is by Jerry Frank. Find out when other radio stations air Travel with Rick Steves. You can find a list of our affiliates at ricksteves.com/radio. We'll see you next week with more Travel with Rick Steves.